Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Bava Kama, Daf Yud. We got up to Tes Amud Beis, seven lines off the bottom of the Amud. Tanu Rabban, we have learned in a Brais, Chomer B'Shoyer Mi'Abur. Let's have some advantages. Found in Shoyer over Bur. Elements of stringency, of chumrah. So what's to be found in Shur? Shur, by the way, is referring to Keren, where, you know, he aggressively goes out and destroys and harms. So what's a chumrah found in Shur over Bur, over injury by way of stumbling into a pit, dug in the street? Chumrah b'Bur mi'b'Shur. And likewise, we have chumrahs present in Bur, not found in Shur. Chumrah b'Shur mi'b'Bur. What's to be found in Shur, not in Bur? Shur, Mishal, Masakhefer. Four things. If a Shur kills a person, its owner has to compensate. Right? The victim's family. That's Khefer. That's only by Shur. We don't have that by a Bur. V'chayav b'shleishim shel Eved. A Shur kills an Eved Kanani, has to pay 30 Selah. We don't have that by a Bur. Nigmar dino osur b'harno. The Shur kills a person, and then there's a verdict issued by Bezin to put the Shur to death. At that point, you may not have any ano. You must not have any benefit from this shur. Again, that's unique to shur. Does not apply to a non-living being like a bar. Finally, v'darki leilich lahasik. Shur is accustomed to making his rounds and inflicting harm and damage, as opposed to mashenkin b'bar. Bar is something passive. It doesn't go out and move around to be masik. Likewise, on the flip side, Chomer b'Bur b'Shur, we have a contrast between Bur and Shur. Shabur t'chilas asyosu l'nezek, the Bur's actual, you know, creation was for the purpose of inflicting harm. A pit in the street is a harmful entity. Umod m'tchilasi, in fact, you're liable 100% from the get-go, from the start. Mashenken b'Shur, as opposed to a Shur, who's not a Shur is not defined by his ability to be mazik. Right, he's a nice, innocent creature who helps with farming, etc. It's not called chilas asiyos l'nezek. And likewise, he's not a mod mitchilasay until he becomes, you know, habitualized. He's considered a tam, which doesn't generate 100% liability. So we have things found in the shur, not found in the bur. Things in the bur, not in the shur. Continues the braiso. Let's compare the other mazikim as well. Let's compare shur to fire. Chomer b'shur m'be'ish. Chomer b'ish m'be'shur. We have chumrais in shur, not found in eish. Chumrais in eish, not found in shur. Chomer b'shur m'be'ish. What does shur have over eish? Sha'ashur m'shalim kofer, right? Exactly like before. You pay the kofer, v'chai b'shleishim shel eved. Nigma dini osur b'hanah, right? M'sore l'cheresh shayte v'katan. Oh, this was yesterday, right? You give the Shmira of the Shur over to the Cheresh, the Shur to the Katan. He asks them to look after the Shur, and something goes wrong, Chayiv, you have to pay. Mashenken Be'esh, as opposed to an Eish. He doesn't have the Kaifer, he doesn't have the Shleshim Shel Eved, etc., etc. Chayme Be'esh and Bashur. What does Eish have over Shur? Sha'esh Mo'edes Mitchilas. When it comes to fire, you're 100% liable from the first incident. Mashenken Be'esh. By Shur, it's not so. You got a 50% discount until, you know, it happens a couple of times. Chomer b'Eish b'Bur. Now we're going to compare fire to a bur. What's to be found in Eish over bur? V'chomer b'Bur b'Eish. And what does bur have over Eish? Chomer b'Bur b'Eish. What does bur have over Eish? Shetchilas as, right? Shetchilas asiyos l'nezek. Its actual creation presented a potential mazik. Its creation was for the purpose, you know, the ability to be mazik is found right there at the initiation of the bur, as opposed to eish. Eish is a good thing. It's a thing that heats up your food, etc. It's not defined by its ability to be mazik. If you place a cheresh, a shoyte v'katan, in charge of watching your bur, and something goes wrong, you're chayiv. As opposed to the Eish, which we learned yesterday, why even if he puts the katan in charge of the eish, why you're pater? Because ultimately the katan is the one who contributed to the nezek. Chaymer be'eish mi b'bar. What do we find in eish over bar? She'eish darka leilach lahazik. Eish moves around to inflict harm, as opposed to a bar, which is a passive entity. Umoy edes lechel ben davar horayla. Fire is liable to consume anything, whether it's something which is meant for a fire, like firewood, ubein davar she'eino erlo, or something which is not meant for a fire, like a pot in a pan. Right? You're fully responsible regardless of which materials the fire consume. Masha'ekin b'bar, as opposed to a bar where it's limited. Not everything is chayiv in a bar. If a kli falls into a bar, you're pata. Kli doesn't typically walk over to the bar and trip in. So it's not called ro'ilo. It's not meant for the bar. It's not destined to be damaged by a bar unless it's carried into the bar. So bottom line is, a kli gets damaged in a bar, you're pata. That's the end of the b'raisa. Question. We left some things out. Hey, listen, let's add more to the list. Chaymer b'shar mi b'bar. Which element is found in shor and not found in bar? Shashor chiyavoy sakelim, mashenkin a bar. For shor damages a kli chayiv. If a kli falls into a bar, you're potter. So why isn't that mentioned in the brisa? Hamani Rabbi Yehuda, because we're following shitas Rabbi Yehuda, the machayiv on this kekelim a bar. He learns that even a kli which gets damaged in a bar, you're chayiv for that. So therefore, there's no advantage to shor over bar in that regard. E Rabbi Yehuda, well, if it's going like Rabbi Yehuda, he must say, well, let's move on to the next part of the brisa, which doesn't seem consistent with Rabbi Yehuda's shita. What does the brisa say? Chaymer be'esh mabar. What does esh have over bar? She'esh da'akal eich lahazik. Number one, it moves around to be mazik. Umo edas lechol bein davah ro'ro'i law. Right, we just had this. Ubein davah she'en ro'ro'i law. By Eish, you're responsible for anything that it consumes. Whether something suitable or unsuitable. What does that mean? What do you mean unsuitable for fire? Mashenkin bar, as opposed to bar, right? One second. Now, davar haroi la maininu. What's considered something suitable for fire? Eitzim, wood, right? Which is typically burnt in a fire. Davar she'en roi la. What's called ein roi la for the fire? Maininu? Kalim. You don't feed kalim to a fire. But regardless of whether it's suitable, unsuitable, typical, untypical, you're chayiv by the eish. Mashenkin b'bar, as opposed to bar, which is potter, by a kli. What do you mean? We just said that we are following Rabbi Yehuda, who's machayiv in kelim in a bar. E Rabbi Yehuda, ha'amis, you just told me machayiv for your Rabbi Yehuda on this kelim a bar. So I can't be the pshat in the braisa. The braisa cannot be following shitas Rabbi Yehuda. It doesn't work. He writes, Elul Eilun Rabbonon. The Bryce is following the Rabbonon, who hold that a bar is not responsible, is not liable for Kalim. Elul Eilun Rabbonon. And now it makes sense when the Bryce says, well, by Eish, you chayiv, whether you burnt Eitzim or Kalim, but by bar, you're not chayiv for Kalim. So now the question is, we seem to have an omission in the Bryce, because why didn't the Bryce say that Shur has an advantage over bar? Shor is chayiv kelim and bar is potter. You're right. Elohim rabbonon hivatana v'shir. The Braisa gives us many examples of advantages and elements found in one, not found in the other. But I left something out. It's not a complete list. My shir dai shir. What else did the Braisa leave off the list, which would indicate that it's an incomplete list? It's not typical for the Braisa to leave out one thing. I'll give you another thing that was left out. Shir atamun. Something which was concealed, hidden. If a shor destroys something that's hidden inside of, a sack, you're chayiv. Same thing with a bar. But by eish, there's a ptur. There's an exemption by tamun. It burns down, a pile of hay in which is hidden some tools. You're potter for those tools. So that's something which the Braisa could have mentioned. It didn't. Apparently, it's in the complete list. So it left out the halacha of kelim as well. You buy yisayim, another pshat. You know what? The Braisa can be following Rabbi Yehuda. If a kli falls into a bar, you're chayiv, and therefore there's no point of mentioning the maila of a shor over the bar regarding kelim, because whether it's shor or bar, you're chayiv on kelim. That was good, but the question was, what about the next part of the Braisa, which says that by eish you're chayiv, whether it consumes something which is suitable, something which is typical or not typical. When it comes to bar, it's only something which is typical. V'dava she'en royo lo, when we speak about something not typical, we don't mean kelim. That's what we thought. No, we don't mean that. Lama suyu kelim. We're not coming to include kelim here. But that wouldn't work with Rabbi Yehuda, who says, yuchayev by kliv my bar. Ela suya, rather, when the Braisa says that by eshu chayev, whether it's roy or not roy, skip the kelim. La suya, we're speaking about something which is unusual for fire to damage. Lichachanira, it charred, you know, it scorched the earth. Visachsachavana, it charred the stones. Not something typical, only by a large, you know, grand wildfire. Typically, a fire doesn't do that. But you're still chayev. As opposed to bar, bar doesn't, you know, damage karka. So it's not applicable to bar, not to the brisa meant. Maskal Ravash, we have a kasha. Listen, chayim b'shoyim b'bar. I have another thing the brisa could have mentioned. Shoyer has an advantage over bar. Sha'ashoyer chiyav boi, shoyer p'sulei ha'mekdashim. Look, if a korban got a blemish and it was redeemed, so that animal is called psulei ha'mekdashim. You can consume it, but you can't, you know, if it dies, the carcass, the nevela is not to be fed to a dog. It's not respectful. It's not, right? So if a shoyer kills a shoyer of psulei ha'mekdashim, this type of ex-korban, you're chayev. A shaken of bar, as opposed to if this type of animal walks into your bar and dies, you're not chayev. Rashi explains because the pasuk by the bar says, v'hames yeloi. You know, the owner of the bar is to compensate the owner of the animal, and he keeps the carcass. It's his. Which means you can benefit from the mace. Apparently, we are not discussing psulei ha'mekdashim where you cannot benefit from the mace. So the Torah sort of blocks out the psulei ha'mekdashim from the bar liability. That's a good contrast that the Braisa could have said. Shor has psulei ha'mekdashim liability, and bar doesn't. Now, Iyamas b'shleim rabbanon hi. So it's all good and well. If this Braisa here is following rabbanon hi. So now, I did the shir hach, shir namihach. Since the Braisa was already leaving out things, he left out, you know, the contrast between shor, that's chayiv and kelim, and bar, that's not. So left out this case as well. Shor is chayiv, b'shleim gdosh, and bar is not. Okay, it's in the complete list. However, if the Braisa is Rabbi Yehuda, and we worked out that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's nothing left out of the Braisa. My shir dai shir. So what else did the Braisa leave out, which would justify leaving this one out? The contrast regarding psulei ha'mekdashim. Typically, you don't leave out just one item. Either it's a complete list or it's an incomplete list, which omits many items. I'll tell you another thing that was omitted. Shir dash b'nira. Look, an animal who dash b'nira, he sort of stomped on you know, plowed field, destroyed, hardened it, packed it down, that caused them damage. So by the shor you're chayev, by the bar is not applicable. You can't do that, right? So we have something that the Braisa left out, which would indicate that it's an incomplete list, which would justify, so to speak, leaving out the contrast regarding the bar and the shor by psulei ha'mekdashim. No, says the Gemara, that doesn't work. Im mishurim dosh b'niroi. Well, this fact that you just mentioned, lav shiru, it's not considered an omission. Because guess what? It's already in the Braisa. The Tana, shekein darkoi, Braisa says, a shor typically moves around and inflicts damage and harms. Shekein darkoi, leidach lahazik, whether it's by way of goring, shoving, or stomping on this poor farmer's plowed field. So bottom line is, the Braisa did not leave that out. So if you're going to tell me the Braisa is Rabbi Yehuda, we only have one thing that was left out, which is the halacha that a shor who kills a psulei ha'mekdashim is chayev, b'shein ken b'bar, which is only one omission, which is not your typical Braisa. Therefore, it's more probable that the Braisa is following the Rabbanon. We have several things left out of the Braisa. First of all, the halacha of kelim. Shor damages a kli is chayev and not bar. Secondly, psulei ha'mekdashim. Shor is chayev and bar is prot. Now the Mishnah says, if I enable part of the damage, I'm fully responsible for everything. Why? What are we talking about? Tanur Rabbanan. Here's the case of the Mishnah. Right? Even though I only enabled part of it, I'm fully responsible as though I enabled the entire thing. Ketzad. Give me an example. Hachayfer Bertisha. Reuven dug, you know, a rather shallow pit in the street, only 9 tefach deep, which only has the ability to inflict, you know, harm and damage, but not to actually kill an animal. Uba acher v'shlim el asara. Shimon comes and adds another tefach of depth, which now enables the bird to actually wreak even more serious havoc and kill an animal. Who's chayev? Ha'achron chayev. Shimon is fully responsible whether the bird killed or harmed, because he sort of took it to the next league. He completed the bar. And that's what the Mishnah meant. Even though Shimon only merely did one tefach of digging, he was machshir miktsas. He takes full responsibility. He takes over the entire bar. Udeloike Rebbe. And this doesn't work with Rebbe, who does not hold Shimon fully accountable. Depends for what? For Misa, yeah, because he introduced the Misa element, but not for Nezakin. For that, Reuben and Shimon both share equal responsibility. The sign. Hachayver Bar Tisha, right? Reuben did 9. Uba Acher Veshlim La'asara. Shimon did the 10th. Achron Chayev. Shimon is fully responsible. He sort of overtakes the bar. Rabbi Yair, no, depends for what. Acher Achron the Misa. Yeah, if the animal died, that's Shimon's fault, because he introduced Misa to the bar. Acher Shneim L'Nezakim. If there's merely damage, an injury, they're both equally responsible. So the Mishnah, which indicates that Shimon is fully responsible, is not like Rebbe. Rapapa Amar, no. L'misa v'divrei HaKol. The Mishnah, which holds Shimon responsible only with regard to Misa, which works according to everybody. Even Rebbe agrees that Shimon is responsible for Misa. Ikadamri. There's another version of this whole discussion. Lema perhaps will say that the Mishnah, which holds Shimon responsible, is like Rebbe. It's not like Rebbe, who insists that Reuben and Shimon both equally share responsibility. No, Amar Rapapa, no. Who says? The Mishnah, which says that Shimon is responsible, it's only with respect to the Misa liability, which works even according to Rebbe. So basically, the Brisa expounded on the Mishnah. This is the case of the Mishnah. They both sort of constructed this bar, and Shimon is responsible. Maskevel Rabbi Zeira. This is the only case where a partial enablement deems you fully responsible. There was no other such case. Well, I'll give you another case. Okay, picture this fellow. He took his ox, handed it to 5 people to watch. And one of these fellow, Reuben, took a walk. He neglected to live up to his responsibility. He forgot about the shir. And the shir went out and inflicted damage. He's fully responsible, even though he was only machshir miktsas. He enabled part of it. He was really one of a team. He's fully accountable. Asks the Gemara why. And Rashi explains, it's not really a brisa or a mishnah, it's just, you know, Rav Zera's svara. On that, the Gemara asks why. Hey Chidami, what exactly took place? What happens when he's not around? He can't watch it without him. He's 5 people to hold this wild animal down. Then, of course, Pshita, the Yuka of it, of course he's responsible. He brought about this entire situation when he walked away. He's solely, exclusively responsible, of course. There's no chiddush here. Ella de belav iu namimintar. Oh, must be speaking that the other 4 can handle the shah on their own. So without him, it's okay. So then what did he do wrong? My kavod. I understand he should have, you know, stuck around, but ultimately he didn't bring about any hezek. Maskelet of sheshes. So bottom line is, this is not a good candidate for the Mishnah's halacha, because it's not true. Maskelet of sheshes. Because of Sheshes, with his own suggestion for another illustration of this halach, partial enablement deems him fully accountable. But I'll give you a case like this. Marba b'chavila, he threw in a bundle of, you know, combustible material into the fire. So even though he only enabled part of it, he only sort of enhanced it a bit, he's fully responsible for all those any burning of the fire does. Hey Chidomi, 1 second, what happened? The belav iu. If without this, you know, contribution, Loi Ozlafai wouldn't be moving anywhere, Pshita, then of course he did the entire thing. It's not called Hiksharti Miktsas. He burnt down the city. Ella Dablav Iu Ozla. Apparently, even without this fellow's bundle, the fire is alive and well. So then Mike Ovitz, what did he do wrong? Meaning he's not accountable. So therefore, it doesn't work with the mission. Maskalara Papa. I have another example of Hechsharta Miktsas Niska, which makes me fully responsible. Ve'ika, Hadassani, listen to this brice. Hey, she Ashwal Safsalecha. There are 5 individuals sitting on 1 bench. Ve'loi Shibru, and they didn't break it. It's within, you know, the load capacity of this piece of furniture. Uba echad v'yoshev ala v'shavroi. Comes another fellow, sits down on the bench, crash. Ha'achron chayv, he's fully responsible. Vamar Papa, who was actually heavy set, says, "Can go in Papa bar Abba." For instance, this guy was like a heavy set fellow, like myself, like Papa bar Abba. The Miri says he was just Papa was just trying to liven things up, like a person like me. Okay, in any case, that's the aloch in the Braisa. The last fellow who sat down, he is responsible. Hechadami. Now, what happened here? Ilay mada belav ihu lo itbar. Shall we say that without his presence, this bench would not have broken. Pshita, then of course he's chayiv. That's not something we have to discuss. So apparently, even without his contribution, the other five fellows would have broken the bench. It was, you know, it exceeded the load capacity of the bench. Then Mike Ovid, why are you attributing the breakage to him? What did he do wrong? So bottom line is, this case doesn't work with our Mishnah. It's incorrect. Says in 1 second, but then Saif must ni say chametaritza. So, if the halacha doesn't sound true, then it was a braisa. Rav Papa was just quoting a braisa. The braisa says it is true. How do you explain the braisa? Why is he fully responsible? Like tzrichas, it must be like this. The belav you have a mitvur betray shoy. So these fellows on the bench were really, really pushing the bench to capacity and beyond capacity. In which case, you know, a couple of minutes later, trei shoy, 2 hours. It doesn't mean 2 hours. It means, you know, for example, 2 hours, 2 minutes, right? It would have taken longer for it to break without this sixth fellow coming on. But now that he plopped on it, Idra b'chadashah broke very quickly in 1 minute, in 1 hour. So they can turn to him and say, look, you know, we understand that we were sort of, you know, pushing it to its limits, but we were keeping an eye on the bench. We would have gotten up as soon as we see the army lady. They can tell him, look, ilav at, if not for your arrival, havayas vinot fei purt v'kaiman, we would have sat there another couple of minutes and gotten up and left. What do you mean, ve'leimelhu? But he can tell them, ilav atun, if not for your presence on this bench, I couldn't have broken it either. V'didil lo have a mitver. It wouldn't have broken just because of me. So basically, it's a toss-up. Why is, like Tzricha says, the Gemara, the Bahadid, the Samach, v'utavar. What happened was like this. Rashi learns, these five fellows would not have broken the bench, not now or not in 2 hours from now. It's just this fellow's arrival that added more weight that sort of brought about its demise. So the question was, it's partial. Of course he's chayv, that's not a chiddush. The answer is like this. He didn't really sit on the bench. He was standing and leaning on these fellows who were sitting on the bench. So he transferred his pressure, his weight to them, which ultimately ended up on the bench. That's sort of like a second generation. It's kaychay. It's energy, it's weight, it's not a direct hezek on the bench. So Pshitas, the question was, isn't this obvious? No, it's not so obvious. Just go back one line. The Tzricha must be speaking to Bahadid the Samach Bu'tavar. As he's leaning on them, he was leaning on them, not on the bench. That's how it broke. Pshita then obviously is chayiv. Ma'odotem, perhaps I would say. Koychay lav kegufay dami. You know, if you hit something directly, that's called gufa. But here it's koychay. He transferred, in a way, to them, which was not transferred to the, that's called koichai. So I would think perhaps it's not like gufa. He's not responsible. Kamash one, the chiddush says, yeah. The koichai of a person, gufay dami, treated like his guf, and koleicha the gufay tover, just like when his guf breaks, he's chayev. Koichai nami tover. Likewise, if his koich does it, he's chayev. So the halacha is true, but it doesn't work without Mishnah, because ultimately he did the full thing. And that's not called hechsharti miksas niskoi. It's not a partial enabler, it's a full enabler. Therefore, he's for sure chayev, but it doesn't work without Mishnah, which is discussing a unique case of a partial enabler, like the case where the Shimon just added another tefach to the depth of the bar, like we explained before. And that seems to be the only, you know, case which sort of reflects this concept. Really? With Suleka? There is no other halacha which is reflective of this idea of a partial enabler being fully responsible. V'ha'ika, listen to this case. Hadasanya, the Braisa says, Iku asar bnei adam esar maklis. 10 people struck this fellow with 10 clubs. Bim b'vasachas. Bim b'zechas, whether it was done all at once or sequentially. Umeis, ultimately he died. Kulam turned to opater. And Rashi brings the Gemara Sanhedrin because each fellow only contributed part of the debt in their pot. Rabbi Yudu b'mser Eimer, he says like this. B'zechar zeh ha'achron chayiv. If they hit him one after the other, so the last fellow is chayiv, even though He only contributed his small portion because ultimately he concluded the process of Misa, Meshekiru, Misasai. He closed in on the Misa, he brought the death. So even though he only did part of it, his blow, his contribution to the Misa, it was only effective because of the previous blows. He's chayv. Here's an example of Ikshati Miktas Niska, which is fully responsible. He writes, says the Gemara, the reason why the Mishnah did not include it, or the Braisa, in explaining the Mishnah, did not allude to this case, because we're not discussing killing people. That's a totally unique case of killing people. We're speaking about injuries and hezek, right? He buys him another answer to this kasha can be, but Pluta Lekamari. We don't get involved in disputes and machlekes. And ultimately, this halacha is subject to machlekes. But wait, really? V'okimnon like a rabbi. Haven't we already said that our Mishnah, which considered Shimon the second digger, second bird digger, as fully responsible, to be inconsistent with Rabbi, so we see that we're getting involved in machlekes. Well, big difference. To say that the Mishnah is not following Rabbi, but like the Rabbanon, that works. Rabbanon the Rabbi. To like Rabbi and Yesuk Rabbanon, v'okimnon, we established the Mishnah in that way. But to go to the case of the clubbers, but kigol karabidim b'seira, so to say that we're following hishita b'leik rabbanon as opposed to rabbanon, which are the majority, lo mikminan, we'd rather not do that. Okay, so let's summarize. The Mishnah spoke about a fellow who was machshir miktsas niskoy. He's fully responsible. A prime example of that halacha would be Reuven dug nine tfachim, Shimon added the tenth. Shimon is responsible. We have two ways to learn: either fully responsible, whether it's misa or nizakin, or strictly by misa. So what happens when you neglect your responsibilities, when you act recklessly? You have to pay for any consequential damages. Chavti b'tashlumi niskos. You have to pay for the nezek. Says the Gemara, let's have a diuk in the Mishnah. Chavti b'niskos lektani. Rather than just saying I'm responsible for the damage, it doesn't say elo b'tashlumi niskos. It says the payment. What does that mean? The hashlama, filling in. What does that mean? Tanina. Laha de Tana Rabbanon. So our Mishnah supports the halacha in the following price. What does Tashlumi Nezek mean? Melamed Shabbalim Metapam Benevelu. So if his shor struck the other animal, and we have a carcass at the other side, the Nezek, the victim, the owner of the animal, has to look after the Nevelu, the carcass, he's sort of, it's his. He has to deduct its value from the bill which he's sending to the Mazik. So the mazik just has to sort of complete, has to fill in the remainder, because he already has the credit from the carcass. But not only, how do we know this is true? We have a pasuk for that. Amar of Ami Damakro. Pasuk when describing a person killing an animal. Maka nefesh beima yishalmena. We have a drash. Al tikri yishalmena. Instead of reading it paying, yishalmena al yashlimena. He has to complete, fill in the missing value. But he deducts the actual value of the carcass. That goes to the nizak direct. That's one pasuk. Rav Kahana, Amar Mehach. I have another pasuk. I'm Torah, if you Torah. This is by a fellow who was Hashem Yisachar. So he was entrusted with an animal, and he failed to wash the animal. And the animal was devoured by another animal. I'm Torah, if you Torah, right? If he ayu ate that treifa lo yishalim. That's the pasuk. We have a drasha. Ad treifa yishalim. So he has to pay up until the value of the carcass. So let's say it was a $1,000 animal. Now it's worth $100. So he has to pay from $1,000 to $100, which is $900. But trefa atzma, the actual value of the carcass, the $100, lo yishal, he's exempt from that. Because that belongs to the nizak. And deducted from the mazik's bill. Chizkel mehach, from this pasuk. Hamesi eloi. So we have... This is a pasuk... By the shor, right? A shor struck down. Right, a shor was negech another shor. So you have to pay. V'ameis yeloi. What does that mean? The mace belongs to him. L'nizak. Belongs to the nizak. He has to look after the mace and deduct it from the mazik's bill. Atayim l'nizak. You're telling me the nizak is stuck with the animal. Oyein el l'mazik. Maybe the mazik is stuck with the animal. Amrus l'kachaya. The answer is no, it can't be. Why? My l'kachaya. What does that mean? If it's true that the nevela belongs to the mazik, then why does the Torah have to add that for? The pasuk would simply say, "Shor tachas hashor." You struck the animal, you have to compensate, substitute with another animal. right? $1,000? V'lishtik, and stop right there. V'amei si Eloi, why add those three words? Lamali, why? What's the point of those three words? Shema mina l'nizak, the Torah is being machadish to us. That the nizak has to look after the nevela, it's his, he has to deduct it from the mazik spill. So we have three sources for this concept. One is the case of the makab nefesh b'mi shalmena, where the person struck the animal. Second case is with the shomer sachar, failed to watch, and the animal was killed. Third case, the shur killed the other shur. Why do we need three sources? They all have a chiddush. All need it. Because Rachmanu Baka Be'em Mishal Menav Torah only says the first case, where the person struck the animal. I would say, you know what? Over there we give him a discount. It's something uncommon, unusual. Mishal Delay Shchicha. Aval Treva De Shchicha Ba Be'el Yishomer Sachar. Where the animal under his care was devoured by the other animal. That's something which is very common. Perhaps there's no discounts allowed there. Emaloi, perhaps there, Shomer Sachar has to look after the nevela, not give it to the owner. Tzricha, that's what the Torah highlights it over there as well. V'yashmina treifa, we only discuss the case of the treifa. Mishum de Mele, because ultimately it wasn't a direct hit. He didn't actually kill the animal. You know, he turned the other way. He wasn't paying attention. So there, perhaps, you give him a discount. Avo maka behema, when he strikes an animal directly, be a daim. Emele, there, perhaps, you're fully responsible, no discounts. That's where the Torah highlights it there as well. We only discussed these two cases. I would say, yeah, in both these cases it makes sense. Over here it's not common. Over here it's just, by the way, but when a shur, my shur, strikes the other shur, the shchicha, it's a common occurrence. Ubi a diamond, it was done, you know, directly. My shur hit it directly. Amaloi, so perhaps there I don't get a discount. And that's where Torah highlights it there as well. We only discuss the case of the shur killing the other shur, where we say the carcass belongs to the nizik. Because ultimately it wasn't me directly, it wasn't the owner doing it, it was my possession, my shur that inflicted the harm. So perhaps there I get a little bit of a break. But in the first two cases, where either I hit it directly, the other hit the shur directly, or the shemes sachar, who was personally responsible for the shmirah and neglected to do so. Perhaps over there are no breaks. That's what Torah highlights in all three cases. The same point. If there was damage done to a living being, the animal went down in value from 1,000 to 100, that remainder, that 100, is deducted, that goes to the nizik. And the rest, the mazik has to pay. Amar l'Rav Kahana, l'Rav, elo taima d'katz rachmana, v'meisi elai. This is all good and well because of the pasuk. Meaning we need a pasuk. Why do we need a pasuk for this? Ha'alav hachit, without this pasuk, what would I say? What would I say about the nevela? Who owns the nevela? Havamin, I would say, nevela, the mazik have you. Reuven, the mazik, takes hold of that nevela, and it's his response, it's his issue. Really? Hash to look, he is lately the day kama treifas, Yoivle. We know for a fact that Reuven, you know, how does he compensate Shimon for the $1,000 loss? He can give him 1,000 nevelas if he wants. Damar Rachman, Damar Mar, Yoshim L'Rabi, Shove Kesev Kesev, Afilu Subin, you can pay anything of value, even bran, even chaff. Right? That was the sugi we had before. The demi boy is any need to speak about the carcass. Of course, you can force him to keep his carcass. Why do we need a pasuk for that? Like Nitzrucha, the answer is like this: it's needed the following additional twist. Of course, when the time comes to repay, I can pay with anything. What happens until that point? Ela lepchas nevela. Suppose the animal was struck down on Sunday, went down from 1,000 to 100. Now, by the time they got around to going to the Bezdin and activating the whole claim and all that, it was already, you know, Thursday. Between Sunday and Thursday, the animal went down in value. That spoiled. It went from $100, now it's worth $50. Who's responsible for that discrepancy? So without the pasuk, Reuven, the perpetrator, is responsible. Of course, now you can pay him anything. Take the nevela and pay him. But how much is the nevela worth today? Current value is $50. Fine, deduct $50 from your bill. Not $100, which was its value at the time of the hezek on Sunday. But the Torah is now mechadish. At the point of the hezek, at that second, the mace is now transferred to the nizik's care. It's his thing. So that value, that current value, which is 100, is considered to have been repaid to the nizik, which allows for deduction of that amount from the mazik's bill. That we need a pasuk for. Okay, so briefly we spoke about a whole list of elements found in shur, not in bur, and bur, not in shur, etc., etc. We had a case where a partial enabler deems him fully responsible, like the case of Shimon, who added the 10th tevach to the bur.
discuss the chiddush of Baalim Metaplim B'Nevela. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.